kid. I don't know if you've ever heard that. They tell you that in driver's ed. When you're skating off to the right, turn in the direction of the skid. You're kind of going, what? Until you drive a car on the ice. That's where I used to take my kids out to the parking lots. I'd say, make the car skid and figure out which way you got to turn to save it. And that's how I didn't explain turn into the skid. They just figured it out after a while. But you begin to understand there was a process. They didn't care about skidding cars when they were little because they had no concept of inertia, no concept of ice, no concept of how a car skids. But all of a sudden, you get to be 15, 16, 17, depending upon when you get your temps and all the different things and variations there are. And you begin to find out, I do care about how I drive and how successful I can be, because if I don't drive well on the ice, I can hurt someone or myself, or I can do something damaging to the car or anything else. And so you find in your life there are different points when you're ready to handle the next block of information, the next thing that's fascinating or challenging or even difficult. Taxes are still no fun, but you can at least hire somebody else to do them, I guess. But you begin to understand those examples I gave is there are certain stages, development points in your life when you are able to receive or handle or move to the next level. They don't stop just because you've passed those magical ages of 16, 18, and 21. All right, American culture, 16 you drive, 18 you vote, 21 you... yeah, and those kind of things. The issue really is this. Do you understand that God in His Holy Spirit wants to pour more into you yet? Do you understand there's a significant step here in the relationship with the Holy Spirit, in the relationship with God that the disciples had to understand? He wasn't failing to reveal and bring things to their understanding. He was telling them stuff every day. He was manifesting Himself every day. He said, I want you to understand, as he starts this whole text off, this little phrasing here, where he says, it is good that I am going away because the counselor will not come unless I go. And you kind of go, why did Jesus have to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come? Well, there was a sequence. There was a process. There was an understanding. The world who deals with a Jesus immediately in front of them can deal with Him at one level, but if I happen to live 100 miles away, He's not available to me. So one of the first reasons Jesus left is so that the Holy Spirit, who is available to me here and 100 miles from here or 1,000 miles from here or can do the things, that availability, and not only that, your mind changed. Rather than saying, I got to get to Jerusalem. Why? I got to talk to Jesus. God, you have a different understanding. It creates a different sensitivity in your spirit. And you begin to recognize that when Jesus says to His disciples, I'm going to leave. I have to leave. It is necessary for me to leave. And it's for your benefit. Now, it didn't feel like it was for their benefit any more than you start to realize my son or daughter is going away to college, and that's now 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 hours away. And you have a whole different set of emotions as those things happen. Or your best friend is going out east and you going out to the west, and you have some of those emotions that go with a best friend moving away or some of those different situations. In this particular example, it created a totally different thing. Life, in order for life to change, don't you recognize in yourself how much we want to maintain sometimes the status quo? Haven't you noticed that when something dramatic happens or tragic even happens, everything shifts? You don't always notice it at first, but everything shifts. Mom is gone. There's this shifting that's taking place in my mind. Oh my goodness, what does it mean here? What does it imply there? What do I, you know, all the different things. That's with just the death of a loved one in the family. You understand how challenging that can be when you deal with everything from moving or some of the other things that you've had to deal with in your life. The shifting of a child who now gets married or a child who gets married and now has children, Every one of those things create a different dynamic, a different set of expectations. I thought we'd always live here and do this, but now we're living there and we're going to do that. We switch because it was nicer, quieter, softer, clearer, you know, cooler, warmer, whatever the case is. All kinds of shifts take place. And the Lord Jesus, knowing that about us, says, listen, I have to leave. It will break the connection that you and I have from this kind of intimate immediacy, and it will change it to another kind of intimate immediacy that can be shared by those who don't necessarily walk up and grab me by the arm or hold my hand. So this is important to understand. It's not an accident that Jesus said, I have to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and deal with you. The second thing is that you have to recognize in terms of Jesus, this very sense of it, Jesus and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit each played a part in your life. Jesus' responsibility was to die on the cross for your sin, to pay the price in full, atonement, to make you one with God again. Excuse me. And so in that process, Jesus has come to the end of his part in order for the Holy Spirit now to take the atonement and minister it out to each individual. The Holy Spirit was going to work on a totally different level, in a totally different way, in the lives of millions and millions and billions of people, differently than Christ did in the immediacy of living there in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem and Israel. And so, excuse me, in the example that you begin to understand, you begin to recognize as Jesus leaves, and he doesn't obviously leave us, but there is a different walk. If I had Jesus walking right here and say, just stay back, I'm going to be walking with him. You guys go wherever you want. Wait, you're pushing me back. I want to get closer to him, right? That would be our conversation. That would be a very legitimate one. If there was a hero, a movie star, an individual you really wanted to be close to, get an autograph from, and we were blocking your way, you'd be operating with this kind of push and shove mentality of, I got to get close to him, I got to touch him, whatever that case might be. Those are very normal things. All of that vanished. It disappeared. That said, Jesus, I don't want that in your mindset anymore. But I do want you to long to be close to me. I do want you to be empowered by my Spirit. I do want things for you that you can't always comprehend. And sometimes, like good Christians, we have the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings salvation into our life, and we kind of get stuck there. Not that that's bad, but it's kind of like there's more. And so here with his disciples, he wasn't even yelling at him at this point. He says, I have to go so you can get more. All right? You stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will receive power from on high. And you begin to go, what kind of power? They already were doing miracles. They were already driving out demons. What kind of power are you talking about? Well, it's the power to be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the power to walk in integrity, to have a living relationship with God where I don't have to struggle to get close to him. Wait a minute, I didn't get close to Jesus today. There was such a big crowd around him, I couldn't even talk to him. So, you know, God goes, what are you doing? It is not the kind of intimacy and relationship God wanted us to have. But there still is a problem. Because we have a degree of intimacy with Christ, God wants to pour more into us. And so there is this questioning, this searching that God is trying to stir in your heart or your spirit, where he begins to, you know, put this out. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. There's this whole process. The disciples are probably going, what did he say? It sounded like if you skid, to make sure you turn your front wheels in the directions of the skid. What is he talking about? They didn't get it. Jesus brought revelation into their hearts, and they couldn't get it because there was no room, because they weren't ready to handle it, because their minds weren't developed to that point, or they weren't driving yet. Isn't one of the things that you and I are always faced with when we hit a crisis? When I hit a crisis, what's the first thing I have to do? Am I going to praise God through this? Am I going to be broken by this crisis? Am I going to use it as some point of victory? Or is it going to defeat and kill me? And you can't always prepare for a crisis because that's why it's called a crisis. It's something you didn't anticipate. Someone gets sick, somebody dies, some situation happens, you lose your job, some things that are altered dramatically happen to you, and you now are faced with a whole set of emotions and problems and situations you're not sure how to handle. And in the middle of that crisis, you are opened up and you discover, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to feel right now. And it's at those points sometimes of crisis that God is best able to pour himself into your situation, and you begin to understand, well, did you ever hear me say to you, praise me in every situation? Yeah, but you can't mean that now. Don't you understand? My engine blew up. I was at a graduation party yesterday, a really neat one, and this particular young lady, when I had her junior year, was kind of a feisty little bugger and hassled me very well. Sharp as a tack, you know, straight A student and all that good stuff. But she used it to, you know, jab the old man. But I loved it. And this senior year, I think I told you this once before, she ended up writing me a thank you graduation award. Again, you know, one of these things you do on Google now or whatever, on computer. Here's your award for being an outstanding teacher. I only get one every 17 years, so I do hang on to them. And I turned it over, and the whole back of the page was a handwritten note of thankfulness from her spirit. And I go, I start to cry because I go, oh my goodness, I thought I drove this kid nuts and, you know, and everything else like that. And she says, I want to thank you so much for putting up with me junior year. And so it just blessed me immensely. And well, it was her graduation party. And it turned out that I had forgotten this just because I remember and forget. You got 180 kids or whatever the number is. Her house had caught fire that year and burned down almost to nothing. And I was sitting with her father, who I was teaching him too. And sitting here with her father, and we're just remembering old times and talking about stuff. And I said, how exactly did your house catch fire and all this other stuff? And he said, and yet, you know what? We're sitting in a beautiful house out in Brookfield, beautiful backyard, big trees all over the place, two-car garage plus an additional two-car garage. He's a mechanic. He loves working on cars. He said, God gave us this house. He said, our house burned down last year. We went through 9 months of hell. 9 months of hell. And then God blessed us with this, and he said, we couldn't have asked for anything better. The only thing we ever had to change was we put in a new stove and oven because her oven was too small. And I go, do you understand the power of that little testimony where suddenly they're beginning to go, and I realized God was working in the middle of this situation, and God blessed me. Well, I put my arm on his shoulder, and I say, I know you got kind of a saucy daughter there. In the yearbook, she wrote down, people like to ask me for advice. She says, I don't give any, but if you want a little sarcasm, let me know. Yeah, it's her yearbook little saying, you know, really cute. She said it better than that. And it's a quote from some movie or something. But having said that, I just put my arm on his shoulder. I said, your daughter just blessed my socks off. I just need you to know. I know she's a little sarcastic with you once in a while, but she's a treasure. Just enjoy her. He looks at me and goes, I do. And I know she is. I love her more than she ever guesses. So we had a little father-to-father moment, you know? And you go, God has wanting to give to you things that you can't comprehend. If the Holy Spirit came to you and said, may I fill you today? What would you say? Because if you say yes, it's going to alter you. It's going to move you in a different direction. It is going to make you walk in ways that you haven't walked. That's why when the Holy Spirit is speaking here through Jesus and he's saying to his disciples, you can't handle this yet. You're not ready to receive this yet. It isn't that you're hated. It isn't that you are unloved by God. It's that, like a little kid listening to the pastor talk about skidding in the snow, or a little kid hearing the pastor talk about paying taxes on April 15th, you knew what I was talking about. They could care less, and rightfully so. They were not yet ready to deal with it. When the pastor looks at you and says, please understand these phrases, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. He is going to bring more into your life than you can possibly guess. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. There is more he wants you to know. And he doesn't want you necessarily to know it from me. He wants you to know it because he wants to speak to you. He wants to converse with you. He wants intimate time with you. We've got different people in the congregation that sometimes hear things from the Lord, and they've been repeating this one line that has come in different directions at different times, where it says, Jesus wants to spend time with you, and you have no time for him. And he says, this is something that the Lord is crying for his people because he wants to bless them, but we're all busy. We're all doing the things that aren't necessarily bad, immoral, wrong, or anything, but they fill our busy lives up with the things that are good, but not the things that are best. And rather than having an intimate time with the Lord where the Holy Spirit is communicating with us, we begin to understand this whole process. Ravi Zacharias, I think I shared the story, but I just heard it yesterday again. It was really good. Was sharing about a good friend of his that he got fairly close to and was dying, actually. And he said, you got to understand, I get up every morning. And before I get out of bed, in the half hour or so before I get that first alarm and the second, I lay in bed and I say, Lord Jesus, this is your time. I need to know what you want me to know, what you want me to understand. Send your Holy Spirit and bring any revelation to anything you want me to know. And he said, and I always listen. And he said, the reason I wanted to talk to you face to face is Lord gave me something for you the other day. And Ravi's sitting there a little bit apprehensive and he goes, well, what does the Lord tell you? He said, the Lord told me that your ministry is going to increase and the persecution is going to be greater and those that attack you are going to be greater. Ravi's going, oh, good. And then he said, did he say anything else? He said, but I will give you strength. I will be with you. Ravi goes, well, that's good. That's good to hear. And then I'm not sure if I got the right vertebrae. Excuse me if I say it wrong here. He said, Ravi, then the Lord told me that he will save you on the 3, 5, and 7. And Ravi goes, what numbers? Something like 3, 5, and 7. 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. I corrected. Someone else heard this. Good. Wasn't that a good story? Whew. I always hate it when I get them wrong. 3, 4, 5. And Ravi says, he said, the only thing I can think of is that I had my back fused, right? And they fused vertebrae 3, 4, and 5. And he said, I still was in terrible pain. But when he said that the Lord spoke that to him and that he would be restored or healed, he said, from that conversation forward, he said, my back has not hurt again. Ravi gave a testimony of a healing that was completed by this promise from this friend who was listening to the Holy Spirit, who didn't necessarily have anything peculiarly special about him, except that he was a friend of Ravi, and he wanted Ravi to know. And the testimony now has been passed from this friend down to Ravi, and from Ravi to you and me. And when you begin to understand, here's this man who has been in terrible pain, think he said he had 3 back surgeries, had 2 heart surgeries, and understood suffering and all the different things that go along with it and everything else. And yet in his testimony, he is raising up the name and the glory of God because God had not left him nor forsaken him. And so the challenge that you and I face when the Holy Spirit comes and says, may I fill you, may I indwell you, may I pour into you gifts and works that you haven't begun to discover, may I give you understanding and messages for people, can I talk to you differently than I talk to everyone else, can I do this for you, that challenge is what Jesus is challenging his disciples with. And you have to understand that the challenge of Pentecost is not simply understanding the historicity of it, the reality of it. The challenge of Pentecost is, Lord, I want your Pentecost in my life every day. It is waking up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? It is getting in your car, turning the radio or the whatever you're playing off and saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? It is getting on your knees at night and saying, what do you have for me today? Wasn't last Sunday such a blessing as some of our kids would talk about their fathers and their grandfathers and different things? They gave these different testimonies, and I can't remember who it was, but one said, I would get up in the morning and my dad would be doing his devotion. You understand? It's not in how well you sell them Jesus like some salesman. It's not in how well you pretend, oh, wasn't the sermon great today? Yeah, your mother and I really enjoyed it, although I was asleep, right? You know, and everybody knows that. The kids know it. Everybody understands the difference between what you say and what you do. They're sometimes too afraid, too polite, too little to call you or me out on it, but it is true. And you begin to understand, here's God looking at me going, I have people I want to save through you. I have messages I have yet to give to you. Look at his phrase. That is why, he will take what is mine and give it to you and make it known to you. A little while you'll see me no more, and then in a little while you will see me again. We always think it lasts forever. One of the things you always hear when your kids are young and you don't believe it at first, they grow up so fast. And all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you go, oh, my kids grew up or got older. Sometimes there's a little bit of difference in that. They're all gone. How did that happen? It happened so quick. All of a sudden, some of you are sending graduates away. Do you understand that some of those graduates don't come back home ever again? Not because they're angry, but because they get a really nice paying job in some other part of the country. And you're going, honey, I'm so glad you got that $20 an hour job, but your mama's going to miss you. You know, mamas get to do that. Dads don't. Hey, way to go, son. You pretend you don't miss them. But you do. And I'm going, you have to recognize, when we deal with Pentecost, do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want the Holy Spirit to have every part of your life? Do you want the Holy Spirit to run your mouth, your mind, your will, your emotions, your attitudes? Do you want him to help you choose friends? Do you want him to help you through the times of struggle and difficulty? Jesus is saying, I will give you power from on high, and it comes through and by the Holy Spirit. And you have to understand, it comes in kind of stages. I don't know what else to call it. Not that the Holy Spirit comes in stages. It's kind of like, I got this huge block of information, knowledge, and gifts for you, but I can only give you this much because you're a 3, 4, 5, 10-year-old. And you can't handle the rest. But I got so much more. Can I give it to you? No, this is good. I like playing with toy trucks. Son, you're 16 years old. It might be time to play with a real car. No, Dad, I'll just play. We would worry about you. But we do it spiritually, and we don't worry enough about ourselves. Someone just call me out. Call us out, Lord. I want to give you the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to manifest in you. I want you to have a different kind of power than you've ever had before. I want to tell you things that are going to happen because now I think you can handle them. I want to tell you something about Ravi Zacharias, who is your friend, who you only see once, twice, five times a year, but I want to tell you something, and you're going to have to call him up, set up an appointment, and go talk to him. Lord, I'm willing to do that. Good, you're at another stage where you're actually investing yourself. I think I have a word from the Lord for you. I think I have something to give to you. God says, once I've got you there, I can give you more. And so as we look at this text, as we consider the working of the Holy Spirit, just understand and recognize that the Holy Spirit said, go and wait upon the Lord. Tell him you're ready for more, that you want more. You want it to manifest in your life. You want him to have every part of who you are. You want him to take over everything about you, all the things that you value, all the places you go, until everything is sold out to him. Because otherwise, you're holding something back, and you and I are the ones that miss out. I have this whole box or bag of goodies, and I gave the kids a treat. It wasn't bad. It was just right for them. But I want to give them the next thing. And that's how the Holy Spirit's calling on you and I today. So this phrase, I have much more to say to you than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. Holy Spirit, we sometimes miss speaking to you, Lord. Father, open up hearts today. Maybe not just for today, but for this week, for this month, for this year. Open up hearts so that we become vessels, tools in your hand, that we begin to receive and recognize your voice when you're speaking, so that we set apart that time of you and us all alone, so that we begin to function in a different way and recognize you have more for us and for our families, and that you want to bring it to our families through us, through me, Lord. Help each one of the people to say that, to hear that, to understand the grace and the mercy and your love you have for them, and how much you long to bless their lives, and how little you want to inhibit what you want to give them. So come and bless us, Lord. Help us to hear, would you want the Holy Spirit? And shout out to you, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord Jesus, in your name and by your power, send your Holy Spirit. Move across the heart of your people today. In your name, Lord, open hearts up and minds up so that they begin to proclaim over themselves a willingness to receive all that you have for them, a willingness to manifest anything you want in their life, a willingness to exercise a different kind of courage. Come, Holy Spirit, and let your will manifest in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to realize what you're calling us to do. Help us to understand where you took your disciples and how much more blessing you had for them than they could possibly comprehend the day you preached this over them. Help us to grow up into that, Lord, so that in every way we manifest your presence and demonstrate your love. We pray that in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen. Amen. As your offering is received, we pray God's special grace into that area of your life, that he would bless you in your finances. If you're a guest or visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. And if you need some, take it out. It doesn't belong to us anyway. And if you need more,
I come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. Lord, strip it all away, till only you. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And forever I'll sing, forever I'll sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. I come with my broken song to you, the perfect one, to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. Give me a childlike heart, lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. How I love you. How I love you. How I love you. My first love. How I love you. How I love you. How I love you. My first love. You're the reason I sing. The yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And forever I'll sing, forever I'll sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you.
Blessing of his body and his blood.